Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of The Magic Sponge. Rob Beckett here with Ian Smith and Jimmy Ballard.
Yeah, I'm back. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Not too bad. Good, good. Well, I think we should introduce our guest.
Oh,
you're very excited about this, Jimmy. Our listeners
I'm
have wanted
excited,
you on for a
but
long
I'm
time.
A little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Well, you can probably hear from his voice. It is Barry Fry, everyone.
Yes.
How are you, guys? Thank you for coming on.
I'm brilliant. It's my pleasure. Never a dull moment when James is about.
First of all, before we start, it's one of them things, because he was one of my first managers,
yeah,
that basically helped my career start. I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm a little bit... I don't know. I suppose I'm nervous.
You are that little kid.
Yeah,
let me tell you, he's never been nervous in his life.
I am, Baz,
obviously. He's a confident young man.
Yeah, so normally... This is going to be a bit weird for me. Before we get going, it might take me a little bit of time to get where I am.
Well, normally, he's like...
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
I'll be all right.
Never heard you called James before, so...
I know.
No, it's the first time I've called him it, but we're in a posh place.
And he's usually got a fuck in front of him or something.
You can swear on this podcast, so don't worry if it slips out.
Oh, good. I was going to apologise to the ladies and gentlemen, my foul and abusive language. It's nothing personal, it's just fucking lack of vocabulary.
You've got to make the most of what you got, innit?
Correct.
What was he like to have on your team?
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Absolutely brilliant.
How long ago would it have been, Baz?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I don't know what happened yesterday. But... I used to watch him sort of...
Well, it was between 2001 and 2003 played Peter.
I used to watch him play for West Ham reserves every 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. What a waste of talent. Yeah. So I went in for him and I got him, which was brilliant.
On a free?
Yeah, yeah. And he played for me. He played on a wing, but he had so much ability that I wanted to get him on the ball as much as possible. And I had a couple of... Phil Chappell was my coach, Wayne Turner, and they kept telling me what Jimmy couldn't do, run back and do this and do that. I said, well, that's not what I got him for. I've got him to be the leader of the orchestra. Give him the ball. Every time you get the ball, give it to Jim. Give it to Jim. Give it to Jim. Yeah, and he sorted it out. And he was like that. He wanted the ball all over, and he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The fans loved him. The players loved him. The coaches didn't, but the manager did.
Yeah. Was he ever challenging?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he always had something to say. I thought he'd go on to manage England, to be honest.
I've always voiced my opinion, yeah. Even like when I was like that age, 21, I used to always be confident and always want. You're dead right. I wanted the ball everywhere. Like if it, Mark Tyler was in goal, I used to drive him mad. Roll it out of me. Yeah, I used to go behind a centre half to get the bloody ball. The centre half was like, what is he doing?
He used to play sweeper, midfield, up front.
You're playing centre half at the moment, are you?
Yeah, from the Vets team. But
he was a very exciting player. He had a brilliant combination of short passes, long passes, and he had a brilliant shot, and he scored sensational goals, and he brought the house down. And I should have got £1 million for this young man. I spoke to his manager, Paul Jewell, and I said, I want £1 million. And he said, OK, I don't do the dealings, the chairman does, and all that. Yeah. Obviously, the owner of Wigan thought three people trying to do the deal.
Yeah.
And in the end, I said to Jim, I'm getting as much money as I can for you, but whatever, I promise you'll go. Yeah. And he did.
We made it happen, didn't we?
For the smallest fee ever. But
was it 340 grand or 200?
375. Yeah, which, considering the money I've got for players that ain't fit to lace his boots, was embarrassing, but got taken out of my hands. It's one of the few transfers in 20 years, I've been at Peterborough for over 20 years, that's been taken out of my hands and dealt with by pure idiots that know nothing about football, finance or nothing else.
But you're still there, Baz, yeah?
I'm still there, yeah. I've fought them all, Jim. I've never been at a place for 20 years where I've been hated from day one.
I can assure you, you know you're not hated there. It doesn't work like that. You're definitely not hated, mate.
Oh dear. So 375, not bad, is it?
No,
not bad, but not as good as it could have been.
I went to Peterborough just to play football, and I love what. I first remember when I met Baz, it was me and my dad. I played a reserve game on, I think it was a Tuesday night. And Baz came up to me and he went, we've got a game, Bournemouth, the next day. I want you to play. And I played that evening because I was fit. But I don't know if you remember. And Peterborough's pitch then was like, there's mud everywhere. And I thought, cool, I'm going to be a bit heavy-legged.
Bladfield.
Yeah, a bit heavy-legged. I'm going to feel I played last night. I thought, sorry, I'm going to play centre mid. And I played one of the best games I've ever played as well. I always remember that. And I come in and me and my dad sat in front of me. He goes, look, I'll give you this much of a week, little contract here, but we're going to play. You're going to play. And I didn't have that for 3 years at West Ham. So it was a great opportunity for me. And I've got to say, I owe a lot to this man. Because he let me play as well and express myself, which there ain't no manager
out there.
Which
Jim.
You've done all
Jim
the time.
Jim needed a manager that believed in him and said, Jim, go out there, the rest of the team, give him the ball, and we'll get
on
with
it. At that time in my career, I needed exactly that. So that's exactly how it started, really.
Oh, well, it's enough about you. Let's talk about our guests.
Okay.
It's getting a bit too much now.
Good,
you're loving it
on.
Too much. Now. What else did I do, Barry? What else was I good at?
I know, it was nice. Thank you, because these things, they give me shit all the time. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. I can imagine.
Do you know what I mean? You think you're this, you
Angel
think
Jimmy.
That. So it's nice coming from a great voice here.
I know. They played for Juventus.
I know, they think
that. Or was it Freibentos? Yeah. You was a lorry driver.
He's a comic. He actually thinks he could play professional football.
I've never said that.
Fuck off. Say that.
I've never said I could play professional football. Hey,
you said you got a powerful shot.
Well. Yeah. Well, you was at Man United, weren't you, at 16?
I had two careers. I had two careers, one as a player and one as a manager. They've both been failures, but you're going to hear about it anyway. I played for England schoolboys 6 times, scored 5 goals. One of those goals was at Wembley in front of 95,000 people. When we beat Scotland 5-3, hooray! The good old days. The good old days. And playing for England that day was Len Badger, Ronnie Harris.
Len
David
Badger?
Pleat. Yeah, Sheffield United, 500 games. And Ronnie Harris you've heard of, Pleaty you've heard of.
Yeah.
Playing for Scotland was Bobby Moncur, George Graham. They went on to become great players, great managers.
Yeah, yeah.
I went on to become a has-been that never was.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. That's ridiculous.
But I left school and joined Man United as an apprentice, and then they gave me a pro contract. So I was there for 4 years. But after a year, Matt Busby called me in the office and he said, Barry, you're a flash cockney bastard. I said, thank you very much, boss. He said, I got these two shy Irish boys coming over from Belfast, Eric McMordy and George Best, and I want you to look after Bestie. I went, no problem. Oi, after 2 days, Bestie ran back home to Ireland, homesick. So I didn't do a very good job. But he looked after me magnificent in my managerial career. He helped me out no end. And I lasted in management 31 years.
Was it Dunstable?
Dunstable, first.
That was with Keith Cheeseman. Bit of a dodgy character, Keith Cheeseman, wasn't he?
I've got to tell you an unbelievable story about Keith.
So Keith Cheeseman, is he in prison, did you say? Keith Cheeseman was the chairman of Dunstable Town, and he went to prison.
Yeah, well, let me tell you the good things he'd done. I joined Dunstable. He wasn't there when I joined. They'd been bottom of the league 8 years on the trot. My first crowd was 34 people. 34 people.
That with the squad?
So... Anyway, I went to Bestie. I was in Manchester one Sunday. I went to Bestie and I said, "I'm Mick Dunstable, you know, he's just taken over and we ain't even got 25 quid for a set of nets and all that." And it was he owned a nightclub at the time and I was in there. And before I left, he wrote me a cheque, Dunstable Town Football Club, 25 quid for a set of nets. Yeah. So that gave us a bit of publicity. At the end of the season, I took over in March. By the end of the season, we were bottom of the league for the ninth year on the trot. So we had to do summer publicity. Yeah. So in the summer, pre-season was just starting, and I went to Manchester one Sunday night, went to Bestie's nightclub, Slack Alice, sat with him. I said, "George, I want you to do me a favour." And he says, "What's the favour, Baz? Anything?" I said, "I want you to guess for me in two pre-season friendlies." He went, "Yeah, no problem. What club are you with again?" I said, "Dunstable." He went, "There might be a problem." I said, "Yeah, I thought there might." He went, "No, I'll play, but Tommy Doherty's still got my registration at Old Trafford." I said, "No problem, I'll go and see him at the Cliff in the morning." So Monday morning I went in the Cliff. Paddy Creran was
there. What's the Cliff?
The Cliff was a training ground at Man United at that time that I'd spent 4 years at, and I looked after Bestie for three of them, so to speak, not very well. So, anyway, Paddy Creran was there. He was a player in the 4 years I was there. He's now assistant manager at Tommy Dock. So, "All right, Paddy." He went, "Yeah." I said, "I've come to see Tommy Dock." He went, "Do you know him?" I went, "Nah." He said, "I'll take you up." So he went upstairs, knocked on the door. Dock shouted, "Come in." We went in. Paddy says, "Boss, this is one of our old players, Barry Fry. Barry, this is the boss, Tommy Doherty. Pleased to meet you, son. What can I do for you?" I said, "You, Mr. Doherty, can give me permission to play George Best in two pre-season friendlies." And he said, "What club are you with?" I said, "Dunstable Town." "Dunstable? What makes you think Bestie will play for you at Dunstable and I can't get him to play here in Man United?"
Is that what you said? Yeah,
so Paddy butted in and went, "Boss, they was kids together." "Yeah, go and ask him." Well, I'd already asked him. So I went to the local cab, stayed there 2 hours. 28 cups of tea, bit of toast and all that. Went back. When I went back, they'd finished training. Paddy was in the car park. I went, "Paddy, Bestie's agreed to play." He went, "Yeah, I know. He phoned me last night." So anyway, he took me up. We knocked the door. Doc shouted, "Come in." He'd finished training. He was in the bath. So I went up to him and went, "Tom, thanks a million, mate. Bestie's agreed to play." And he jumped out of that bath. He went, "Bestie's agreed to play for you. It danced a bubble. Who's your opponents?" I said, "I don't know, I ain't got anybody yet." So then he said, "I'll bring a Man United 11. So can you imagine one Tuesday night, George Best guest in for Dunstable Town via Man United 11? We had 10,000 people inside Greasy Park. Another 5,000 in the High Street, couldn't get in. Hey, and we beat the bastards 3-2 and we was on news at 10. Dunstable had arrived."
That's
amazing. And because he played Bobby Tamblyn's Cork Celtic was the next game he played, but the publicity that generated enabled me to get players.
Yeah, yeah.
We won the league that year.
Which was money in the through the gate as well.
He was unbelievable what he done.
How old was Bestie then, though? Was he still
finished. No, he'd finished. He was still under contract at Old Trafford, but he'd refused to play for Tom because they'd had an argument. But anyway, I mean, because of that, you know, we got promotion. We went to the Premier League, Southern League, Premier League.
Yeah.
But then, November of the next year, chairman comes up to me and he went...
Is this Keith Cheeseman, yeah?
Yep. "Barry, I'm throwing a Christmas party. So I want all the players' names and addresses. and ask the players if they want their parents to come or their brothers or their sisters or their mates. Give me their names and addresses and I'll invite them to the Christmas party. So I've had a meeting with the lads and I went, oi, Keith's having a party. Invite who you want. All I want is your names and addresses. Write them down for me. So you give me 32, you give me 16, you give me 28, you give me 14. I had hundreds of names and addresses. Give them to Keith. Thought no more of it. Had a Christmas party, thought no more of it. March, 7 Black Mariahs come into Greasy Park, arrested the chairman. What he'd done with all these names and addresses was took 10 grand loans out in everybody's name. So he got 6 years for embezzling $750,000.
Oh, my God.
Included you.
I wish I'd have thought of it.
What a chairman.
Unbelievable, yeah. So then, of course, this is March, so we have to go to the beginning of May. Yeah. He's inside. We're getting no wages or nothing.
Yeah.
So I phoned Bestie up and I said, George, you ain't going to believe this. Keith's inside 6 years for embezzling $750,000. He says, thank fuck I never went into business with him, Baz. Yeah. So I said, we got a problem, though. The players ain't been paid a penny for 5 weeks. But Harry Haslam, who's in charge of Luton, which is the closest side to Dunstable, is going to fetch a side down at the end of the season and all the proceeds are going to the players because they've been brilliant for the 5 weeks. They ain't got any money. Bestie said, yeah, I'll be there. Cossie was there. It was another full house. Because we had a full house, all the lads got their 5 weeks' money.
Oh, brilliant.
God bless you, George Best, different class.
Oh, he's a legend.
But then, although we finished second in the Premier League, we got relegated owing to our financial irregularities.
It was a bit irregular.
And
a Christmas party turning up.
And I don't know what it is, but ever since, I'm attracted to unusual chairmen.
Yeah. It certainly seems like it.
Did you ever? So he's been arrested twice then?
Oh, yeah, he got arrested 5 times after that. He done a bigger job every time. He did. Yeah, unbelievable. I tell you what, if he was with us now, it'd be the greatest company ever.
Yeah.
Real greatest con man I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, he was absolutely taking all brilliant. Our details.
But
now.
Really good
laugh.
Good company, yeah.
Horrendous criminal, but what a laugh. Do you deal with any shady characters in football, Jim? Or was it a bit more
Not as shady as that. No, the more I went on, the more professional it got, the more money you're into, the less that happens. But, they are out there, and you hear of them, don't you? But not that's double shady, that. making out you're having a do and then getting done with that. Jesus Christ, don't get bigger than that.
And then you went on to Barnet.
Yeah, Barnet.
Stan Flashman.
Well, no, not the first 5 years at Barnet.
Oh, wasn't it?
I didn't... Stan weren't about then. The first 5 years at Barnet was really hard work. Because...
But also, was it Stan that kept on sacking you and then reinstating you?
He did later on when I went back, but I'd gone to a couple of clubs...
Before?
Thereafter, yeah. I'd gone to Maidstone and then... Oh, I've got to tell you what happened at Maidstone, apart from getting the sack, of course.
Go on.
Was at Maidstone, and I was in the office, and the phone went, and I picked it up, your mate. Buzzer! Harry Redknapp here, Bournemouth. Mark Newson. I went, oh, what a player, Harry. Yeah. I said he can play, hit the back like Bobby Moore. Majestic, brings it out, passes it. Or he can play centre midfield like Brian Robson, wins it, passes it, bombs by the front people, scores goals. Under a grand, Harry.
You just selling him?
No, I'm telling him this, right? So he going, under a grand? He said, that's funny, Baz. He said, I've just put the phone down to John Young, who's in charge of registrations at the FA. And he tells me, you haven't even got him signed on. So I said, don't be a flash fucker with me, Harry. I said, we at Maidstone United don't believe in paying tax. So all our... No, it was before that happened, this. So I said, we sign our players on non-contract, but they sign a blank blue contract. So when flash people like you come, you've got to give me 7 days' notice. I get that contract out the drawer. I fill in all the blanks. I send it off to the FA, and you'll owe me 100 grand, Redknapp. So then Harry goes, Baz, this is a courtesy call. When you was out to lunch with your chairman yesterday, Mark Newsome come into your office. And he said he went into your drawer. Oh. And he's bought me this blank contract with his signature on it. And I'm filling in the blanks. And I'm sending it off to the FA. And by the sounds of it, it saved me 100 grand. I went, you tea leaf Redknapp, you unethical bastard Redknapp, you piece of shit Redknapp, I'll blow your kneecaps off. I was angry. Hey, next time I see Harry Redknapp, was it Ascot?
Was gone.
He gave me 100-1 winner, and we've been the best of mates ever since.
Brilliant.
True story.
Really, yeah, I can imagine it.
True story.
I can imagine. Well, Mark Newsome, I played at Gravesend with him.
Yeah.
Towards the back end of his career, I know exactly the player you're on about, and he was a player.
He kept on dropping a blue ball paper.
Jim, what happened, Pleaty was at Tottenham.
Right.
And he fancied Newsome. So we had to... He couldn't play in those days, so we had to cancel his contract,
yeah.
Right? And he signed a new one so that he could play for Tottenham in 2 games. Now, Harry was very, very cute, and he heard about this and sent his buddy, Stuart, who worked for him for years, centre-half, to watch him. And, of course, so they know. And they know Bill Williams, who I took over from, got on a jet and went to South Africa. So he told Harry as well about it. So the combination of them, they was cute. We'd all do it. I'd have done it to anybody if I could. They're cute and they got it and they got into Noose and all that. I don't blame Noose. Yeah. So, but Jim, I told Jim Thompson, I said, look, you can't get him off a contract. No, no, they've got to give us 7 days' notice. They're all right. Get him to sign that blue. We'll be all right. Well, we weren't all right. No, of course, then when I didn't get anywhere with Harry... After threatening to blow his legs off, Jim tried, but Jim got nowhere. Harry stuck out.
Before he gave you the 100-1 shot, did you speak to him before that then? Did you have a row with him when you saw him?
Yeah, as soon as I got there, I went, he said, before you start, I've got 100-1. I went, yeah. No, we was in a box. He was guest to Stan Flashman. We had a box at Royal Ascot. We had it every year. And every time I see Harry now, I see him about a month ago, and we always talk about it because it was brilliant, you know, brilliant. Bally was there, and it was just a fun time for footballers, managers, or players, and getting together.
And so, did you get on with Stan Flashman then? Because I've got down here that he sacked you 37 times.
Yeah,
so
he did.
37.
Yeah. Well, he was one of those interfering chairmen, you know. I used to go around his house every Friday to get paid, and if he used to say, "What's the team tomorrow, Baz?" and I used to tell him. He didn't pay me because he said, I'll sack you tomorrow, I'm not paying you. He said, with that team, you got no chance. And he used to phone the players up, you know, Frank, really, Murphy, don't bother turning up tomorrow, you know. So I'd go back to the office Friday afternoon, I'd get a phone call from Frank Murphy, and he'd go, Baz, I've just had the chairman on telling me not to turn up. I said, yeah, Frank, that's because I told him he was in the team. he said, well, he's told me not to turn up, otherwise I'll find myself hurt. Yeah. I said, Frank, don't take the notice of him. He's threatened to put me, Stan, threatened to put me in the cement on the bridges around the M25 at the time. he, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do you still get on with him like Cheeseman?
I like Stan.
Did you say in your book, though, there's only one thing wrong with Stan, the man is a complete and utter shit?
Oh, yeah, I called him that to his face.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Listen, he was another rogue. I mean,
It's like Cowboy Builders.
In the end, at Barnet, it was terrible. In the end, he stayed at home. Nobody got any money. Nobody got any money for like 8 weeks, 2 months. And again, I phoned Bestie up, and I...
What have you got on him?
And I mean, it's unbelievable. I tell you why he done it.
I wonder he ran out of money.
Jim had testimony against Tottenham, and he come, filled the house, but all my proceeds went to the players and their families. They deserved it, mate.
Lovely,
They was brilliant. But I couldn't have done that without Bestie and Tottenham, in all fairness. But Stan was... We wouldn't have got in the league without Stan.
Yeah.
Because he paid the money.
Yeah.
He not only paid the money, we had the best coach, we stayed at the best hotels. He treated us, he allowed me to treat the players as if they was Arsenal players or Tottenham players.
Yeah.
And you, Jim will tell you as a player, if you're treated right, you want to go and perform.
Yeah.
And we performed, right, yeah, and that's why we got three promotions. It was brilliant. He was brilliant. Oh, yeah. So, although he was a pain in the arse, a shit, an unbelievable guy. But since he died and gone, God bless him, I've become a pensioner. And I went to get me pension. Got a letter back saying, between this year and that year, which was 7 years, you wasn't in work. So you can't. I've never been out of work in my life. Jim, this is my 56th pre-season starting as a player, a manager or a director of football. I've never, ever been out of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So when this come, luckily enough, my missus keeps all my wage slips from up in the loft.
Yeah.
So I had to go up in the loft or she
did.
So
he hasn't obviously put them through, has he?
No, no. He'd stopped tax and national insurance off of me and hadn't paid the income revenue. Now, it's a laugh. And I've got all the proof that they were stopped at me, so I got my right pension.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine all the people that was at Barnet in the time. I was at Barnet like 14, 15 years. Imagine when they become my age and go, they'll have the same problem as me. And they won't have the wage slips to prove that the money was taken out of it. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I'm attracted to these likeable rogues.
Threatened to sack you 37 times. Have your managers ever threatened to sack you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? For what?
Well, I did get sacked, didn't I?
Oh, bye.
I can't mention it on here.
Who got sacked?
I got sacked. I'm sure Baz has mentioned it. I remember one game when I was away at QPR, and I always remember this, and coming at half-time, and I didn't have such a good game. And I've hit this shot from about 35 yards. It's hit the post. And he's coming around. He does what he does. He picks every individual player out. He's like, absolutely. He blew a gasket. And when Baz blows a gasket, believe me, it's a fucking gasket. And I'm sitting there and he goes, you ain't hit a fucking good shot since the old King died. And I'm sitting there like that going, Baz. Because I always had something to say.
Yeah,
didn't
he?
Always had to say something. I went, but this time I was thinking, shall I? I'm going to clip one. And I went, Baz, I hit the post from 30 yards. He said, exactly. It didn't go fucking in, did it? I went, and I let it go. He won't remember that, but I can honestly tell you that's exactly how it went. And then he went round and he's off me and onto someone else. I'm like, thank fuck for that. I'm aware of it. But that's exactly how it was.
Ed, have you got a quiz? You got the Who Said What quiz for Barry?
Yeah, I've got a quiz. Yeah, so basically, this is a lot of quotes from football managers. And you've got to guess who said it. Anyone can chip in. So, who said, I was asked if I thought I was the right man for the job, and I said, no, I think they should have given it to George Graham because I'm useless. And that is either Stuart Pearce, Glenn Roeder, Dave Bassett, or Gordon Strachan.
I'll go Bassett.
That's the kind of thing you'd say, I reckon. Bassett?
Got any ideas?
No. Gordon Strachan.
Gordon Strachan.
Smashed it. Did you know that? Or was it a guess?
No, guess.
I felt like you looked into my soul and got the answer. Anyone who's thinking of applying for the Scotland job in the next 8 or 9 years should get themselves checked out by about 15 psychiatrists. Was that Martin O'Neill, Walter Smith, Sir Alex Ferguson or Paul Lambert?
I would say Martin O'Neill.
Sir Alex.
Alex Ferguson.
It was Martin O'Neill.
I wasn't.
It's like he would say. It's a bit off the cuff, isn't it?
I was throwing in Scottish. Is Martin O'Neill Scottish? No, isn't
he? He's Irish.
Yeah, I was trying to throw in the Scottish managers. You didn't fall for it. if we win, hopefully we'll be able to buy some new radiators because we're freezing our bollocks off down the training ground. Is that Ian Holloway, Martin Allen, Jockey Scott or Ian Dowie?
Holloway.
I'd go Martin Allen, Bulldog, yeah.
Right into your eyes.
Yeah,
Martin Allen.
Was Martin Allen?
Yeah. I know Martin Allen. That's exactly saying what he would say.
What club would he have been at then?
Barnet.
Yeah.
I've just been telling you for an hour, Barnet ain't got no money.
Well, I know what is around the corner, I just don't know where the corner is. Is that Kevin Keegan, Alan Pardew, Rude Hollett or John Carver?
I'd say Keegan.
Timmy, I forget the first ones by the time we get to the fourth option.
John Carver.
Do you have to give us so many fucking options?
Well, yeah, sorry, mate, it's multiple choice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, John Carver.
We'll just give you two, it's easy.
Or just one, then it's the answer, isn't it?
It's Keegan.
Yes. I'm on fire, yeah?
You're doing well, yeah?
Just trying to show off, because
it's because I get into the mind of him, see?
He doesn't know a goal line from a clothesline. Was that David Seaman, Harry Redknapp, Barry Fry, or Cookie Coleman?
I would say Bez.
I think you've got to put a Barry Fry one in, seeing as he's here.
Yeah, so Barry Fry.
Who did you say that to?
Basically, I've nailed
talking
all five.
About David Sullivan, I was completely wrong, and I got the sack for that as well. No, but they've done brilliant. Sullivan, Gold, Brady, West Ham, your old club, Jim. Mm. They have done wonderful. Mm.
They really have.
You know, to take that over and invest $100 million where everybody in the world thought it was dead money and throwing it down the drain, from to turn it round, it's fantastic. Mm. So congratulations to all of them. And I don't think they got the credit for the 17 years they had at Birmingham, because they put Birmingham on the map. Mm.
Yeah.
And Birmingham City supporters, of which I am one, a real big blue nose, wanted them out in the end, and they've got to be careful what they wish for, because they've been an absolute disaster ever since and in turmoil.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Well, we can't use the other quote, because you've already told us how you were going to blow Harry Redknapp's fucking legs off.
Was that the...
We have got this. Who said this about you? When you speak to Barry Fry, it's like completing a 1,000-piece jigsaw.
Who said that?
Well, I ain't got a clue.
It's quite a complex...
Brian Moore. I don't know who that is. But
Brian Moore?
Brian Moore. Is it commentator?
Hang on, you said commentator.
Moore? Two O's?
No, Brian Moore. No, Brian Moore was...
Not Moore. It's not like a cow.
It's Moore. M-O-R-E. You'd be like, oh, I want more of them.
Yeah, but the name Bobby... You know, Bobby Moore? Bobby Moore.
Bobby Moore
lifts the Jules Rimet. There's only one. The Bobby Moore stand.
Where are we, Rob?
I can't even argue back to it, because as soon as you said, have you heard of Bobby Moore? I was like, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, I've got that one. Do you know on YouTube, the documentary you did, where there's a bit of swearing in it? You know the
I've done a few documentaries.
Yeah. But do you know on YouTube they've clipped together every swear word that you did in that one?
Really?
One episode. Would you like to hear it? Or it's 20 seconds long.
I'm sure our viewers.
Our listeners.
It's 20 seconds. It's all the little bits that you did like throughout the hour.
Oh, hang on a second.
So you never heard me speak once?
No, this has been edited down. This is not what went out on telly. This is just the edited version.
Gentlemen, I told you at the start of this program my lack of vocabulary.
You've nailed that word anyway. It was poetic. It was beautiful by the end.
Yeah, it's like a song, wasn't it?
It's like a
Christmas number one.
What song was that?
He was at Southend as well.
I love Southend.
Enjoy it at Southend.
8 months.
And what was the Ricky Otto in Italy story? Ricky Otto wound up the home fans so much he got his head smashed in by a local hammer. Is that wrong?
It was funny, but it weren't funny at the time.
Oh, right.
We went to Italy and we won the game. We won all our games in Italy. It was brilliant. But their supporters was mad.
Yeah.
And their players was mad. So when we come off the field and walk back, you walk downstairs along a corridor and walk upstairs, and there's all doors along there. And as we're walking along there, one of their players come out the boot room with a hammer to hit Ricky on the head with it. Yeah. And Owlsy, David Owls, got hold of his arm, twisted it round his back and threw him back in the kit room. But that could have been really dangerous.
Oh, that's crazy, yeah. A actual hammer!
So, this was on the Wednesday. We're playing at Roots Hall, right?
Yeah.
on a Saturday. So as the players run out and Ricky runs out, David Howe jumps from the dugout with this giant inflatable hammer to smash him on the head. And it brought the ass down. But Jim will tell you that that's football people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, that, we had a million laughs on that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, imagine that.
What's the most hostile ground you've played?
But when you was there,
it's awful.
Funny,
yeah.
It just split your head.
Yeah, oh, God. Ridiculous. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Awful.
And the most hostile ground I've played at?
Yeah. Millwall normally gets...
Millwall back in the day. The old den, well, when I was a kid, the old den was...
Oh, yeah, evil.
Didn't get as...
I used to go there because two of my ex-teammates at Man United, Eamon Dunphy and Hugh Curran, both played for Millwall. So I used to go to the... when I didn't have a game and when I was in London, I went to see him on a Tuesday night.
Yeah,
and,
it was...
Oh, the abuse I got. And I went, hey... I'm supporting you.
Yeah,
I used to live with Eamon Dunphy and Uri Curran was across the road. But,
I remember walking through and even back then my dad was taking me and he went, don't fancy, I was only like 12 foot and he went, no, it's a bit much over there. Like,
yeah, it's a bit of a lot of it.
But West Ham, the old bowling ground, that was heavy back in the day. That was, do you know what I mean? Even when I played, there was like some serious comments coming out of the ground. I was like, blimey, it's like ruthless down there. But that Birmingham was great. But even some of the Northern clubs. I played at Hull. Believe me, they got some serious following up there.
Yeah,
that was an unbelievable stadium. When that got rocking, that was unbelievable. So played at some real hostile places.
What was there people like the fans?
It was great. I had a great rapport with the fans. As soon as I went there,
they loved it.
I loved the rapport with the fans. It was it's where I started, really. My career took off there. So
yeah, it did.
Always look back. And I hit the ground running. If you remember, going back to my career there, I struggled for the first 3 or 4 months. Didn't play that well.
Yeah.
And Baz stuck with me, and all of a sudden I scored one goal, and it sort of sparked me.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was just, to be fair,
when he started off, he was inconsistent. He'd do some good things in a game and not so good game. But the longer we kept faith with him, he got more and more and more consistent.
Before
we went out, we'd say, Jimmy Bullard's man of the match today, and he ain't kicked the ball yet. And that was only in a kickabout, you know? Because he grew in confidence.
And that's exactly
the players loved him. The players gave him the ball because they knew, you know, he'd get him the bonus, he'd make things happen.
Yeah.
He could affect a game. Jimmy could affect a game.
No, Finney weren't there. Fenny, we had Neil Fenn. Remember Neil Fenn?
Yeah, centre forward.
He was
couldn't run, but
but had a serious touch.
Oh, yeah. What about Shitbum? What's his name?
Jamie Ann weren't there.
They weren't there. I'm just trying to think. Any people you've mentioned on the
Dean Hooper. I told you some stories. Remember Dean Hooper? Yeah, I still speak of Dean Hooper.
Yeah. He's great. He's another one. Should have done better in his career.
Really?
Had ability.
Didn't you get caught surfing on the roof of a taxi?
That was at Wigan. That was at Wigan. I got stitched up. It wasn't going fast. wasn't going fast. That was on a night out. You know, that is getting carried away.
What happened?
Just on a night out, and taxi driver, there was 4 in there. So I went, don't worry, I'll get on the roof. Right? Be all right. He jumped on it. He drove up a little, and that was that. And before you know it, it's in the press. You've down the M25, 80 mile an hour on the road rack. Well, no, it won't really like that.
Right, Ian, you've got a Jimmy on Jimmy new feature.
Yeah.
We've got
this is
what is this? You've hit me. I don't know what's going on. But go on, I like it like this.
About what you wrote in your autobiography.
Oh, right, okay.
Did you write it or?
I didn't write my own book. I had a ghostwriter.
Obviously.
I had a ghostwriter.
I didn't actually write my
book. Basically, I spoke into a dictaphone.
Yeah, but that's really? As long as you're saying it, they're not making. Yeah.
But.
How many times did you meet up with him?
Obviously.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I met up with him in some random places, as in like fishing, golf, on a train, in a restaurant. So it's just like...
It's crazy in a restaurant.
And there was some other stuff. I was going to go, but I couldn't really mention some of them. In a pub.
Brothels?
No brothels. I don't go to brothels.
No need.
No need. That's right, Baz. Tell
no need.
But go on, hit me with it.
So, what was the total cost in fines due to fire extinguisher-related incidents at Fulham?
That would have reached... Was it like 4 or 5 grand?
Well, no, I've got here around £500.
Oh, is it really? I've done well then.
That's not too much.
No, what I used to do
is deserve more.
So, like, so we had a load of like foreign kids come and like sign for us. So what I thought, just to be the icebreaker, you know. So they thought, they felt at home. I thought, spray them with a fire extinguisher because it sounds shit now, doesn't
it? Welcome.
But when you're the boss, you go, hey, right, maybe we could do it here. We're all right here. We're like easy. And they're going, oh, dripping. But half of it, some of it, I won't water it. It's foam, wasn't it?
Oh, God.
And like you get, so yeah, I do that, thinking it was funny. At the time, it was brilliant, but now, yeah, not so funny.
Spraying white foam.
But it's in the moment, isn't it? It's in the moment. When it's in the moment, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. Like, as soon as you come out the gaffer's office, fuck up. But yeah, go on.
500 quid.
Go on.
Whose car did you fill up with water?
That's TJ Moncur's. That is full, like dustbin lid, dustbin full.
Would he leave his sunroof open?
Yeah, he come in. He's only a young boy. 21. What got a new contract. It's a Peugeot 306. But he's come in. He's drove in, but he's give it music loud and wheel full. Yeah. Parked it. He had a better car than a lot of the first team boys. We're like, not having that. So he's gone and got changed. I was injured. I'm thinking, worst thing ever, I'm injured. So you're fucked. All your gear's in a change. I can do what I want now. Yeah. It's like, so I filled it up, boshed it. That don't look enough. Another one, boshed it. Another one, three later. But what I didn't know, the fucking CCTV cams on me. And this boy could have a tear up. So he's in the office, comes out of Ivory. He's in his old man. And one of the artist families in Ivory. So I'm looking at him and he's going, I know it's huge. I'm like, for fuck's sake. He wanted to bash me up, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
But now I'm best mates with him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How did you sort it then? Did you
just
pay for it?
Give him a few quid, didn't I? I was earning a few quid. Sorry, mate.
Here's the money.
True story.
Or just a bit of roof.
But that's it. Is that, was that the car done?
Hey, it fucked it up a bit. Yeah, it fucked it up a bit. Drove home with flippers. Go on.
Who was the greatest stretcher in the history of the game?
Oh, fucking hell. Foreign boy. We signed him at Fulham. He played at Liverpool. Great player. Fantastic. One of the best. What's his name?
Danny Murphy?
No. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. You're talking Danny Murphy? One.
No,
you're
I was
talking
going...
Yari Littmanen.
Yeah.
Yari Littmanen. Right, let me tell you about this player. Roy Hodgson would be telling you the team, like, we're in the room and Yari would be stretching. Be like, Yari, what are you doing, mate? We're not outside yet. And he stretches. Like, he does kids' autographs and he's stretching. Like, he stretches. I swear he must be the most nimble bloke ever. He must still eat his own toenails. Yeah, always stretching. Like, when it's like,
how
you don't
you
have to stretch.
Used to stretch for?
Did
you?
I hardly stretch. That's probably why I noticed it. He probably does my stretching for me, but he stretched like. But he was a player. Yeah. He was a
so
serious
stretchy.
Player. So nimble.
This one, what was the name of the kit man at Wigan?
His name was. Well, we had two. We had Fred and Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
I'll tell you a good story about Joe, right? He's behind me on the aeroplane. The chairman took us away. We went out and the chairman took us to Barbados. Yeah. It's brilliant, it was.
He's
it was wicked.
There,
Dave Whelan, yeah. He's got
his
own place out there.
He used to play.
And Joe Kitman's behind me, 75 years of age.
Oh,
and he's snoring. Yeah. And the boy's like, Jim, shut him up. He's doing me head in. So I've looked like, but his mouth's like, closing and opening. So I go straight there. I've got a Malteser, innit? So they go, Jim, don't like that. So as he opens his mouth, I go, wallet, throw it straight down here. He's choked. Like, he shouts at Big Northern. He went, I've got fucking angina. That's dangerous. I was like, possible. I thought, where have you got a vagina? I didn't know what the fuck he was on about. But he was fuming, he was fuming, and all the boys were like, Jim, you shouldn't have done that. But it was one of them things, it's great at the time, but I could have killed him.
Yeah,
and he went straight down. Like, Maltesers ain't small.
Come at him the next day with a big inflatable Malteser.
Also, when you went to Dave Whelan's place in Barbados, wasn't Dave Whelan too pissed to sit down?
Yeah, well, he had this long, his place was like, it's worth millions and millions of pounds, and he had this long table, like, he had all the directors and all the stuff at that, and all the players this end. We was all having a drink, and he said, boys, listen, there's no rules tonight. I want you to come and enjoy yourselves at our place. And it was, like, brilliant. It was lovely. And we was all having a wine. We was all having a good time. Dave was, like, having a few drinks. You see him getting redder and redder in the face. He's obviously had a few drinks. He wasn't legless, but he's had a few. And he just collapsed. I fell off the chair. But the directors had gone to pick him up. And he went, fucking leave me alone, like that. And he's pushed all the directors away. He's tried to get up. He's gone over again. but he wouldn't let anyone pick him up. And his wife's there, and she went, leave him. I've been here before, leave him. But that's what a man he was. Proper hard northerner. Wouldn't let anyone else pick him up. And all the boys were like, fucking hell, chairman's lost his head here. Right, stay away from him. But yeah, he was a proper man, Dave. He was quality.
And on that trip, didn't Dave Hamilton hit a turtle?
I'm looking
forward to this.
This one's a tad bit longer, but what happened was that in Barbados. This was classic. This is like one of my favourite stories because it cracks me up. And you really got to imagine being there. So there was we had some Scottish players, like some real strong players. Lee McCullough being one of them, and he was probably the strongest player I've ever played with in all my life. And there was this speedboat that had a ring donut on the end of it.
Yeah.
So us as being youngsters, we'd go on there and we'd say to the driver, go fast. But what would happen if you hit a wave in whatever direction you go, it flips you off.
Yeah.
So gradually you get tossed off, basically, like thrown off this thing. Not tossed off, that's saying dodgy. But you get launched off. And if you're the last to go, you're literally through the air, I'd say 40 metres through the air. So you'd hit the water, and believe me, it hurts, right?
Yeah.
So Dave Hamilton, he was like the scout at that point, like middle-aged man, but thought he was James Bond. thought he could do everything. Every morning he's skiing, looking out, and the boys are like, who's he think he is? Like, one leg. So I thought, we'll get him on here, eh? Come, we'll get him on here. Let's just see if he can handle this. But I said to the driver, I said, I want to go really fast, like the fastest you've ever been, right? So I'm on the end, what goes off first? I sort of fall off. I know what's coming. Like, oh, I'm off. Gary Teal's off. Lee McCulloch's off 30 yards. Well, Dave Hamilton's hit this wave. I swear on my life, he's through the air like Bruce Willis. He's, but you can hear him go, right. He's hit the water head first, right? And you hit water, yeah. It's like hitting pavement, right? Wow. He's gone whack. He's hit it that hard, he ain't even got wet. He's on top of it, like that. He's lifting up, his nose is round his ear hole, and he's gone, I swear I've hit a fucking turtle. So he's gone like that, he's gone straight on the surface, his nose ran zero. But to top it all off, he's got back in the boat as well, and as he's trying to get off, he forgot how deep it was, so he went under again. He's like, and it's all blood everywhere. I was crying. It was so funny. But that is actually as wicked it was. Absolutely brilliant. That's that.
It's got to be one of the best stories I've ever heard.
He's punched one.
No, he got drunk. Because he hit the water that hard, he actually thought, I'll hit a turtle. He actually thought he hit a turtle, but it's obviously the water, so like.
How many games had you played consecutively before you were dropped by Paul Jewell for the away match at Chelsea?
175, 178.
Wow.
123.
No, it's more than that.
No.
It's wrong. Where'd you get that from?
Joel.
No, your book.
Your book, yeah.
That's wrong.
You put it in your book.
No, because that's...
You have to do a reprint.
He might be surgery. It's quite loud in brothels.
I'm sure it's 170. But next podcast, I'll make sure I get the right figure.
Get a new book out.
I was well confident on that then as well. I haven't got a lot else to...
The Jungle Years?
There might be a back section going on.
Magic Sponge Years. What about who put Deep Heat in your underpants?
Grant McCann. Grant Ledbetter.
No.
Was it not?
Flynn. Brown.
Oh, yeah. No, well, that was...
How many times has that happened?
Four times.
That was the... Remember Simon Ray? Do you remember that one? Well, Simon Ray. God, he had some...
Do you remember? You had massive balls.
Well, tell him, Baz. We had this centre half plant rush. He's a big inch fella, but he used to have to get his bollocks drained.
Yeah,
because he had
the biggest bollocks I've ever seen in my life.
My missus used to come and
watch.
Do you
mean like a flannel? Like
what happened? Excess fluid gets on.
Oh, right.
He told us.
Rob knows.
There was fluid coming on his bollock. It was all right. He had it dealt with. Doctors used to, but every 6 months used to get him drained. My missus used to come and watch, right? And where sometimes you get wet because of the pitch and all that, his bollocks. All the women used to go, what the fuck are they? I swear, we had the most wives coming to our game ever. Just get a freebie. Look
towards the end of his 6 months when he's needing a drain.
Lovely lad. Lovely lad.
But once they got me, Jason Lee, they got me, I always remember this, they got me in a room and I was always playing pranks and they got me bad one time. I used to love me hair. I still love me hair. Shaved up straight up the middle, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
Oh, absolutely ruined me, Simon Ray. So I thought, how can I get him back? I chopped his brand new Armani suit up. But that...
So
that evening,
he didn't think that was funny at all, by the way.
No, he wanted to kill me.
Yeah, because Armani suits don't grow back.
Hey, and he's a big 6'3" heavyweight champion in the world. He was chasing Jim around, never caught him.
He would have et me. But that night was player of the year, dude. I've had to wear a cap where I was all embarrassed. That was, yeah, that is another story.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it was wicked.
It says here that you got your own back with a couple of Ralgex. What's Ralgex?
So that's basically a deep heat rub.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I took it on one further. I used to, you know the old aftershave bottles?
Yeah.
Pour a bit out and piss in them. So that then they're spraying it on themselves, and I'm like, nice, is it? Sticking in my piss all mum. Like, I've done him like a kipper. But yeah, Ralgex. Ralgex in a toothpaste is the one, though. Yeah. It's all right putting Ralgex up your nuts and all that. You watch someone put Ralgex on their lips and in their gums.
Oh.
That, mate, you see a man's face change. I don't care how big you are.
Life.
You rub Ralgex in your gums, you know about it. Brilliant. That's a classic.
Have you ever had to sort out, like, massive arguments between players with, like, stuff like that? Or do you just
let them get on with it?
Really?
I think it's great. I do. Yeah, I think it's all good for team spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because although they're annoyed and want to knock lumps out of each other at a time, that they laugh about it for months and months years and years after. They do.
I've got to say, like, all that stuff that I'd done and other players were doing, I've never once seen a full-blast tear come out of that.
Oh,
so
really?
it's always managed between players
and
sort of gone, look, you're over the mark. And as soon as you know, it's sort of, so if it's managed by the players, it's fine.
It is.
So that's that.
Any more Jimmy on Jimmy? Is that the end of Jimmy?
No,
I think that's a good new thing. Feature,
thank you. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I've done my bollocks here in the first episode. I've got no more next week.
How do you keep players motivated when they're not playing? Like, what do you do? Like, you know,
that's the most difficult job of any manager. The 11, it's simple. They're all playing. They all want to play. The ones that are on the bench are reasonably happy. But the ones that ain't even in the squad of 18, it's absolutely unbelievable now.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because you want to be positive in all the games, and if you've got a few you four's negative because you ain't playing.
Yeah.
So if it was me, I wouldn't have you anywhere near the dressing room.
Yeah.
Some managers are different and they want them, but it's no good having you sat there sulking. Because, look, if you're not in, I know that you're wishing that we have a nightmare game anyway. We lose 4-0 and you fall back in. I don't need that around.
Just
you don't as a player.
No, 46 matches, you reckon everyone's getting rotated a fair bit, you would have thought.
All depends what sort of squad you got, doesn't it?
Well, it all depends what sort of form you're in.
Mm.
You know, if you're winning, I'm a great believer in why change it anyway.
Mm.
Mm. You know.
Would you like to be a Premier League manager now?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not half. even for a day.
Yeah.
Obscene money, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Crazy, isn't it? Well, no, on the subject of managers, obviously you've spoken about Harry Redknapp and your argument with him. But Sam Allardyce, you know, England manager now.
I know Sam very well.
Yeah.
Very well. I picked his our wits together when he was at Notts County. He won the league earliest ever when he was manager of Notts County. When he was at Blackpool, I think I got him the sack. I think we beat him 6-1 and what have you. But Sam's always been like 10 years ahead of his time in as much as fitness-wise.
Yeah, he's really into
He's really into all this thing, and he had it miles before anybody else.
I don't think he gets the credit for that sometimes.
No, he doesn't.
They just sort of see this big tough...
He's very, very thorough, Sam. Yeah. Very, very thorough. And if you talk to his players that's played for him, they love him.
Yeah.
Because he makes them feel good. He's well-liked amongst the players.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. And what about Alan Pardew? Jimmy's a big fan of Alan Pardew's approach.
Pards, I've had a couple of dealings with Alan Pardew and they've always been okay.
Brilliant. Less said than that, Dylan.
They've always been absolutely satisfactory, so it's good to know.
I wouldn't say satisfactory.
Okay. Manageable. And what about Alex Ferguson? Do you know...
Brilliant. Yeah. Alex Ferguson's greatest manager that's ever been, in my opinion. He's always first at the training ground, 7:00, 7:30. He's always last to leave. He knows everybody's name, all the young kids that he's got there in the youth team. He knows their parents' names. He knows all the staff's names. Alex makes you feel important.
And
he's different class and he does his job like nobody else.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, in a few years' time, when everyone looks back at what he's done, he's just going to be...
No, it's unbelievable.
I think it's happening now, isn't it?
Yeah, already.
I think they've realised what they're missing.
That brings us sort of towards the end of the episode. And there's just sort of the team talk section that we do. This is a feature we do every week.
One thing, Asa, this is me asking a normal question. I'm mental, isn't it? What's the aim for Peterborough this season? Because you're in the playoffs places at the minute.
Our aim is to get in the Championship.
Yeah.
You know, for all sorts of reasons, main one, money. If you get in the Championship, it's worth 6.8 million before you kick a ball. Mm. But you, not only that, if you play Leeds, you get 5,000 away supporters. If you played Wolves, you get 5,000 away. But Sheffield Wednesday, 5,000. So your income is like doubled and trebled.
Yeah.
If you want, once you're in that Championship, there's even a bigger scope because you're only step away from the big
absolutely.
One good bit of run.
See, we've been promoted to the Championship twice in the last 10 years and we got relegated straight away. In the second year, the second time we was there, we lasted another year and we actually got relegated at Crystal Palace on the last day of the season with a record number of points. We had points. Nobody's ever gone down with the number of points we had. So we consider ourselves very unlucky. But with gates of 5,500, 6,000, if we're lucky, we can't compete with the big clubs, even in our league. Sheffield United get 20,000, you know, loads of them
Bolton.
But our ambition is to get back in the Championship and stay there and try to get to the promised land. What's it called?
The Premier League.
Hey!
Right, there's a final bit of the team talks for both of you.
I don't like this bit.
You don't like doing it?
I don't like this bit, especially about...
You'll leave it then, but we don't want to do it. He doesn't like it. We start a new feature, basically. I give him a scenario and he gives his team a team talk, but he's gone all shy now, I think, because you're...
No, I just don't like that.
You don't like it? Well, let's think of a new feature to end with.
Go to the pub. That's a great feature.
Go to the pub, that's it then.
All right, Christmas special, get Ruddock back in.
Barry, been brilliant.
We've kept Baz long enough.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you, my man. It means a lot to me. Brilliant. Thanks for your time, mate. Thank you very much.
And thanks for Adam as well, his son,
who I used to play with, by the way. He's a good player.
Yeah. Adam's calmed down. Thanks all for listening. Don't forget to sort of subscribe, share it, and we'll have another episode next week.
Yeah, what a great episode. Love that, Baz. Thanks again.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugs your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.